Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, October 29th, 2021, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. It's about to get even crazier. Couldn't get much crazier, but apparently it's about to. So I guess maybe we'll spend a moment and talk about the Facebook Meta nonsense. You know, people, it's astonishing what's going on. The lack of common sense and just downright ignorance. You know, I talked about the Chucky Gate, John Gruden email situation, which was a non-thing. It was just another example, really, of Urbain Marcuse's repressive tolerance. I would say, first of all, that information had no place in the public sphere. That's just my personal opinion, and I stand by it. And therefore, it's kind of a non-issue. However, when you are a public servant, or allegedly so, you know, that's a different matter. And when you are guilty of treason, and that treason is evidenced in your emails, I think that's a different discussion. So, for example, if you have an email server in your basement, and you're funneling state secrets to hostile foreign governments, that, I would say, could be a problem. So, you know, the lack of common sense, lack of intelligence these days is astonishing. So, John Gruden, you know, people are circulating images around the internet, for example, that say things like, what if, or imagine if all emails were really scrutinized, you know, with pictures of John Gruden and then Hillary Clinton and Hunter Biden and so on. So it's astonishing what's happening in America, and how many of us are really facilitating the downfall of the great American experiment. Doesn't have to be that way. I think there's a reason that despite whatever intrigue brought us to the American Revolution and resulted in Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I mentioned the conversation that I had with the gentleman. One of the things that I said was, we were talking about, I mentioned the situation that I've spoken about on air a few times, being in court, hearing a public defender say, "Your Honor, while she is adamant about preserving her constitutional rights, she's willing to waive her statutory, you know, she's adamant about protecting her constitutional rights, she is willing to waive her statutory right to a speedy trial." And I said I was dumbfounded. I wanted to jump up and down and say, "Did you guys hear that? Did everybody hear that? Everybody understand what just happened?" It was astonishing. That was around the time that I was really digging into the administrative stuff and thinking, is this really true? This can't be true. We have a duality of systems, two systems. One has been created to be superimposed over the other in a sort of holographic fashion so that you kind of see through it, and it looks like, or it sort of resembles the one that it's covering and smothering. But, you know, they are effectively mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive. The one, you know, the latter, the administrative seeking to what do you call it? Basically just not obliterate, but not destroy, but to, you know, obsolete the original. So this guy's talking about common law, etc. And I said, you know, it was a misnomer, by the way, that the public defender said constitutional rights, because they're not constitutional rights. They are God-given, inalienable rights that are enumerated, for example, in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. And so our Constitution is supposed to grant powers to government, limited powers, while reserving and preserving the rights, the God-given inalienable rights to the people. And talked about the controversy about having a Bill of Rights. Some founders said that, you know, if we write 10 down, then some people will say, well, that's it. Some people will think that translates to that's it. And that's, you know, addressed in the 9th and 10th Amendments, obviously. But it's worse, in my opinion, now, because we speak as though rights issue from those documents, the Constitution and Bill of Rights specifically, which is not the case, as is attested to in the Declaration of Independence. So these are special documents on the landscape of history. And the reason I know they're special documents is because very powerful, very influential people have been trying for a long time to either change them, to radically alter them, as guys like Richard N. Gardner discuss in The Hard Road to World Order back in 1974, or to just replace them. And we don't value them and appreciate them, I think, nearly as much as we should. So it's fascinating to see. Meanwhile, we have all of this other crazy stuff going on, and people like Hillary Clinton, who is not, I don't think that, I mean, I can't imagine that she's ever acted in anyone's best interest other than her own. And these people keep making their way to the halls of power. It's an astonishing time in America. The Facebook transition really is illustrative, I would say, of kind of what I've been talking about. It's a really ironic thing, and what I've been trying to get to, which I will today from last week. You know, speaking of all of this stuff, where I'm going to go today, and just everything. You know, the communitarian, technocratic, cybernetic, totalist aspect of what is happening in America and around the world. You know, all of the healthcare stuff, the biotechnology convergence. The Dunning-Kruger stuff from yesterday, the way that we've been dumbed down and yet think we're so smart. As David Dunning puts it, it's the anosognosia of everyday life, which is not funny, it's just horrifying. I think the timing of the Facebook thing is very interesting, and it really coincides with what I've been trying to point out over the last 2 weeks now, in particular. And so I was thinking about the irony of the Meta deal yesterday, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Anytime this broadcast gets anything right, all credit, all glory and honor goes to the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit is what leads and guides all of that. And, you know, anything that gets called in advance is a result of that sort of revelation, I think. I think we're seeing some of that. I think, you know, some people are paying attention. You don't have to be, you know, you don't really have to be deeply spiritual or, you know, whatever. You just have to kind of be paying attention. It's signs of the times and times of the signs kind of stuff, I think. So Facebook's transition to Meta. It's really horrifying. So the announcement was made yesterday that Facebook is now Meta. But what's that about? They have this video that they made. This is how you might use the metaverse. Because, you know, if you read the founder's letter, in recent decades, technology has given people the power to connect and express ourselves more naturally. When I started Facebook, when I started Facebook, first of all, Mark Zuckerberg, I guess you missed the memo. It wasn't your, well, never mind. You know, all these guys do the same thing, I guess. Bill Gates, same thing. When I wrote an operating system, oh, wait, I didn't do that. I think what you mean, Mark, is when I stole the idea. I digress. Anyway, when I started Facebook, we mostly typed text on websites. I mean, listen to how creepy this is. I don't know if you understand the meaning behind the word meta. We'll get into that. Anyway, when I started Facebook, we mostly typed text on websites. When we got phones with cameras, the internet became more visual and mobile. As connections got faster, video became a richer way to share experiences. We've gone from desktop to web to mobile, from text to photos to video, but this isn't the end of the line. Right? Ray Kurzweil, you know, whatever. The next platform will be even more immersive, an embodiment, or excuse me, an embodied internet where you're in the experience, not just looking at it. We call this the metaverse, and it will touch every product we build. The defining quality of the metaverse will be a feeling of presence, like you are right there with another person or in another place. Feeling truly present with another person is the ultimate dream of social technology. Again, that's disingenuous. That's not quite the whole story. That is why we're focusing on building this. In the metaverse, you'll be able to do almost anything you can imagine. Get together with friends and family, work, learn, play, shop, create, as well as completely new experiences that don't really fit how we think about computers or phones today. We made a film that explores how you might use the metaverse one day. And that's creepy, super creepy. So, hour and 17 minutes or so. You know, I mean, it's sci-fi becoming, you know, science fiction, science future becoming science fact, science now kind of thing. Really, really, it's exactly what Jaron Lanier wrote about. And so here we go. You know, dumbing ourselves down and in mentioning Aaron and Melissa Dyke's video yesterday, the Alan Turing video, Alan Turing, Cybernetics and the Secret of Life, I think one of the things that they've done with their Minds of Men documentary, I don't know about this new one, the Trust game, yet, but with the Minds of Men, Alan Turing, Cybernetics, and the Secret of Life, and this work that they've done on, you know, all of these folks, the Gregory Batesons, the Norbert Wieners, and so on, who have been behind this, what Jaron Lanier coined as cybernetic totalist agenda. You know, what Aaron and Melissa Dykes did so well, I think, is basically to show us what all of this digital technology is ultimately supposed to do. It is, you know, ultimately, it's digital enslavement, and you've heard folks like Eric Schmidt be very straightforward about that. And yet, we just keep offering ourselves up to this stuff. One of the things that I was going to get to was the surveillance aspect. Speaking of Facebook, we got to do that. There was that Onion video. I'll grab that, and we'll play that in the next segment. It's just astonishing. It's so horrifying. Do people understand what Meta represents in technology? I mean, so, you know, we played Mr. Roboto to bump today's broadcast. Meta, in one sense, means making or showing awareness of reference to oneself or the activity that is taking place, especially in an ironic or comic way. Sometimes that's, but you know, an awareness of self. And so, this is kind of a hello world moment, you know, in terms of programming, you know, well, maybe I'll explain that to a little bit. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
Want a perfect soul.
Yeah. So it's probably good to play the Onion video. We'll do that in this segment. I guess the connection is fairly self-evident. The trust game that Aaron and Melissa Dykes made. You know, this transition to the metaverse requires our participation, our consent, our trust. And it represents nothing less than total digital enslavement. So, you know, this thing that Kurzweil wrote about in the Age of Spiritual Machines, you know, that this is what's going to happen. You know, I've talked about this many times. I guess I'll get back into this later. But, you know, it wasn't the first, wasn't the last, but perhaps the most prolific and visionary. It's a dark vision. It's a dark dream. You know, like Scott Klosowski said, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. I don't think that I will be participating in this. But, you know, Ray Kurzweil says if you don't, then you won't be communicating with people anymore because they have envisaged, as they have told us, the, you know, changes so radical in the next few years that it will eclipse anything we've seen in the last 150 years, which is pretty amazing. So this is kind of a short segment. Maybe we'll wait for the Onion video. The Facebook parody. CIA's Facebook program dramatically cut agency's costs. CIA calls Facebook reason why we invented the internet. It's funny, but it's, you know, horrifying because it's so close to accurate. The Onion News Network. So Meta, you know, represents an awareness of self, reference to self-awareness, basically. And Hello World, in my own mind, has always been the demon announcing, you know, heralding its arrival from inside the dark box that Jordy Rose is worshiping at, basically. I don't know, maybe we should play those clips. I don't know if people understand what I'm talking about. We've played those clips before, you know, Jordy Rose, for example, you know, Kindred AI presents super intelligent aliens are coming to Earth. If you point your SETI dish and you're like, hey, you know what? We got a message. They're coming. You get ready. You better be ready. So that's his shtick. He actually said that. He was being hypothetical, but really literal at the same time. And there was that quantum computing talk that he gave back in 2013. It feels like an altar to an alien god. Quantum computing, artificial intelligence is here. So, you know, this is what these guys are pushing for now. Hello World. Basically, that's what the conversion or the transition from Facebook to Meta represents. It's this, you know, transition to this thing that is allegedly self-aware, now kind of being the predominant face of what Facebook, formerly Facebook, now Meta, is saying is the kind of the face of the what they're calling the metaverse. So, you know, not only that, but the abstraction of information. I'll talk about that for a second and then we'll move on. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. So what am I trying to say? In summing up what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, you know, from the communitarian bent through, you know, history, modern digital technology, including the most advanced stuff in the future. What I'm trying to say, I guess, to sum it up, in the Facebook transition to Meta, really, you know, Meta Platforms Inc., which, you know, think about what has happened recently. Google is Alphabet. Facebook is now Meta Platforms Inc., or Meta for short. I like the way that the Houston Chronicle put it. In the middle of a crisis, Facebook Inc. renames itself Meta. Oh, that's so meta. With an infinity loop as its logo, no less. You know, straight out of, I don't know, Regina Dugan's talks at the F8 conference, you know, F8 conferences, or should we just call it Fate, right? Meta Platforms Inc. So what is on the horizon, if we're listening and paying any attention, if we have been for decades, really, is the complete and total subjugation of mankind, and ultimately the annihilation of mankind. that's what we're looking at. Digital assimilation, as you know, I mean, Elon Musk says, hey, we're summoning the demon, but you know, that's okay. We can merge with it, and that way it won't destroy itself, and in the process won't destroy us. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but if you merge with this technology, you have destroyed yourself. You cease to exist. So, you know, meanwhile, we all sit around squabbling, having these petty squabbles over what amounts to, I would say, largely misdirection. And we're using the technology that is, you know, we're using the tools that are designed and intended to enslave us through, you know, Google's selfish ledger, for example, in soft and subtle ways, and then, you know, now apparently not so soft and subtle. It's going to be great. It's a more immersive experience. It's going to be all around us. The metaverse is everywhere. You'll be able to do almost anything you can imagine. Creepy, super creepy is, you know, an understatement. So, for posterity's sake, how about the Onion video? CIA Facebook program dramatically cut agency's costs. This was humorous until yesterday. Until yesterday's announcement. Now, oh my goodness. So here's that. Go ahead, please.
This is the Onion News Network. Better news, better viewers.
Congress today reauthorized funding for Facebook, the massive online surveillance program run by the CIA. According to Department of Homeland Security reports, Facebook has replaced almost every other CIA information gathering program since it was launched in 2004.
After years of secretly monitoring the public, we were astounded so many people would willingly publicize where they live, their religious and political views, an alphabetized list of all their friends, personal email addresses, phone numbers, hundreds of photos of themselves, and even status updates about what they were doing moment to moment. It is truly a dream come true for the CIA.
Much of the credit belongs to CIA agent Mark Zuckerberg, who runs the day-to-day Facebook operation for the agency. The decorated agent, codenamed the Overlord, was recently awarded the prestigious Medal of Intelligence Commendation for his work with the Facebook program, which he has called, quote, the single most powerful tool for population control ever created. Among the biggest successes of the Facebook program is Operation Farmville, which the CIA credits with pacifying as many as 85 million people after unemployment rates rose dramatically. Other features, such as the suggested friends window, have been instrumental in allowing government agents to infiltrate deeper into the friend networks of suspected dissidents. For some expert analysis now on the story, let's check in with the Fact Zone's first responders. Jason, you have written extensively about the Facebook program. Why is it so effective?
Well, one of the key reasons is that the CIA has been so thorough in convincing the nation that constantly sharing information about everything that you're doing is somehow desirable instead of deeply unsettling. Yeah.
You know, but critics are saying that with the national debt being so high, is this really the time to be spending even more money on spy programs?
Well, actually, the Facebook program saves the CIA money.
That's right.
Like the Maps application, where you list every place that you've been, whether it's the state or a country.
Oh, right. With the little pins, they show where you visited. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
I like that.
That kind of information would have taken the CIA months of going through hotel receipts and plane tickets to figure it all out. The manpower that Facebook saves is huge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the calendar feature even lets the CIA know where you're going to be in advance. So that's
right. So now if they want to pick you up for questioning, all they have to do is see which events you RSVP'd yes to and then send their agents to be waiting for you.
That's how they got my brother.
That's right.
So effective. Mm-hmm. But guys, with all the focus on the Facebook program, is it taking away from some of the other CIA programs like the Twitter initiative?
The funding for that should be cut entirely.
Right, 400 billion tweets and not one useful bit of data was ever transmitted.
Oh, that's true. Now, is this trend of social network information gathering dangerous? I mean, just last week, the New York Times revealed that Al-Qaeda has designed Foursquare to identify popular locations for bombing.
Actually, Brooke, that's been discredited as any kind of real threat. The people that use that site are people that no one would mind seeing bombed anyway.
Yeah, so. The only thing the CIA has to be concerned about is people losing interest in Facebook.
You know, it is sort of humorous and sort of horrifying. You know, the humor is in how horrifying it truly is. obviously that's a parody from years back. Was that when Elon Musk owned YouTube? I don't know. But that's a good one. That page is no longer found on the Onion, of course. So, like so many other things, it is not what it once was. Because we can't laugh at these things anymore. We can't. There's that Thoughty 2 video. What was that titled? See if I can find that real fast. It is titled The Truth. The Truth Why Everyone is Suddenly Getting Offended. So, you know, he does a good job of talking about, you know, what the consequences of this are when you can't, you know, comedians in particular can't criticize things. And there are, you know, he says comedians should basically have free rein. I disagree. But I suppose I agree in principle. But, you know, you still have to have, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll play that too, a little bit of that, and let him speak for himself. But if there's time, again, when we become vicious, corrupt and vicious, as Benjamin Franklin put it, we have more need of masters. And the more that we do that, the more we feed into that control mechanism. And this, you know, when does this become a Skinnerian, you know, Bateson type cybernetic feedback loop where, you know, you're goading the emotional outbursts and responses from people, and in turn saying, you know, we have to clamp down. It's that, you know, like I said, I mean, it's the P2OG, R2P, R2A scenario. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. This is the revolutionary way. As we keep turning. So, you know, the more you do that, the more you provoke people, the more upset they get, the more outrageous the behavior, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I mean, there are things that are not, that are in poor taste. And I mean, I'll just put it that way. I think we all remember humor growing up. That was in poor taste. Supposed to be humor, but it wasn't really funny. There's a difference between, you know, making fun of yourself and realizing that maybe you're taking yourself too seriously. And then there is, you know, denigrating people that is portrayed as humor when it's really not. So anyway, back to the Jordy Rose thing. What is happening? Where is all of this headed? Well, let's start, I guess, with Jordy Rose's, it was a 2013 talk. It was published in 2015. I think it was a 2013 talk, though. I think, this was the 2013 talk that he did. Anyway, the description, the title of the video, Jordy Rose, Quantum Computing, Artificial Intelligence is Here. Jordy Rose, founder of D-Wave, recent clients are Google and NASA, believes that the power of quantum computing is that we can exploit parallel universes, quote-unquote, to solve problems that we have no other means of confirming. This is basically what Elon Musk is talking about when he says we're summoning the demon. You know, and Jordy Rose says they're infinitely smarter than you. They're like the Lovecraftian old gray ones, but I'm getting ahead. Anyway, what did Jordy Rose say? Tell me this doesn't sound like a religion. This is what he said. Go ahead, please.
Steve Jurvetson has been a longtime friend and investor in the company. And for those of you who don't know him, he's a Silicon Valley investor who's probably the smartest VC that I know of, and certainly the one that's the most attuned to technological trends. He's on the board of SpaceX, Tesla, Synthetic Genomics, which is Craig Venter's company that's trying to build artificial life, and D-Wave, and that's it. And this is his particularly poetic way of framing the difference between the machines we build and conventional computers. This is what they look like. There are two of them. These are from our lab in Burnaby in British Columbia. From the outside, they look like giant black monoliths, big metal boxes, about 10 feet on a side, 12 feet tall. And they are powered, they have a fridge inside them, a refrigerator that cools these chips to almost absolute zero. Just a wisp, a fraction of a degree above absolute zero. Hundreds of times colder than interstellar space. Amongst the coldest and most isolated and extreme conditions that humans have ever been able to engineer. These fridges, interestingly enough, which are called pulse tube dilution refrigerators, have a thing called a pulse tube, which emits a sound roughly once per second, which sounds eerily like a heartbeat. So if you have the opportunity to stand next to one of these machines, it is an awe-inspiring thing, at least for me. It feels like an altar to an alien god. They really are impressive machines.
And there you have it.
At the heart...
It feels like an altar to an alien god. Maybe because it is? I don't know. Am I going out on a limb here? No, not really. Anyway, it's fascinating to see that, you know, we've been told the devil doesn't exist. We've been gaslighting God and the Bible. And now this stuff is starting to come out into, you know, the open conspiracy is starting to come out into plain view. So in that talk, Jordy Rose mentions Craig Venter, synthetic genomics. And John in Tennessee actually sent me a video yesterday that featured Craig Venter. Who is Craig Venter? Well, just a few headlines real quick. 2007 MIT Technology Review. You know, MIT is kind of a, yeah. Craig Venter, this is 2007. The Bill Gates of Artificial Life. That was 2007, 2010. He gave that TED Talk. Craig Venter, by the way, backing up, in 2001, Craig Venter made headlines for sequencing the human genome. Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, you know, Francis Fukuyama's book. Fast forwarding, like I said, you know, 2010, he gave his TED Talk, Watch Me Unveil Synthetic Life. Craig Venter and team make a historic announcement. They've created the first fully functioning reproducing cell controlled by synthetic DNA. He explains how they did it and why the achievement marks the beginning of a new era for science. Guardian article talking about this. Craig Venter creates synthetic life form. Craig Venter and his team built it, the genome of bacterium from scratch. God says, wait, get your own dirt. I digress. Into a cell to make what they call the world's first synthetic life form. Fast forwarding. Let's see. This article, How Craig Venter Created Life. Last week's DNA Science post caused an uproar because I suggested that some people might think life begins at a period other than conception. You know, this is something I see signs every once in a while driving down the road. Life begins at conception. No, it doesn't. Chris, I thought you said, you know, you believe the Bible. I do. It does not begin at conception. That's not what God said. So, you know, again, the technique of infamy at work, inventing two lies, getting arguing heatedly over which one is true. I'll explain when we come back. Stick around.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time, the green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. All right. So back to this stuff, just sort of concluding. Again, the MIT Technology Review article, Craig Venter, The Bill Gates of Artificial Life? This is the suggestibilist at work, June 13, 2007. Critics say that in applying for a patent for an artificial organism, the maverick scientist is out to create a microbe soft, quote-unquote, empire. There he goes again, says a group of scientists and activists alarmed by the latest rebel moves of J. Craig Venter. Since butting heads with the scientific establishment during the sequencing of the human genome and coming out rich and famous in the process, Venter has had the moxie and smarts to know just when it's time to blend science with commerce. This time he's trying to cash in with a patent for artificial life, specifically a designer microbe that Venter and his pals at the Venter Institute have been trying to assemble from scratch. In 1999, Venter and Nobel laureate Hamilton Smith used a simple bacterium called Mycoplasma genitalium to roughly figure out the minimal number of genes it would take for an organism to live. Since then, they have been trying to synthesize this minimal genome, quote-unquote, inside a cell that could be augmented by additional genes to do things like produce hydrogen or gobble up carbon dioxide. Anyway, so what has he been doing? Well, we'll get to that in a second. But how Craig Venter created life. Fast forwarding to 2013. The PLOS blog post that I mentioned, Ricky Lewis, PhD, How Craig Venter Created Life. A great read, Ricky Lewis writes. I usually don't read books about DNA because I write books about DNA, but when offered a copy of Dr. Venter's new book, Life at the Speed of Light, I couldn't resist. Not just another tale of genomic sequencing, Dr. Venter's latest efforts tackles synthetic biology, chemically creating a simple genome, then transferring it into a receptive cell, minus its own genome. Creating life plus sampling bits of various environments and trolling for genomes, metagenomics, are what he's been up to. What does all of this mean? Well, we'll continue when we come back. Stick around. Second hour coming up right after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.